It's time for Building the Game with Jason and Friends.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, April 8th, and you're listening to episode 619. As always, I am your host, Jason. Here today, joined by an old friend, a current friend, an artist, and that is Corinne Roberts. If you've listened to the podcast ever, you've heard me talk about her artwork and how much I own of it. But hey, Corinne, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing well. I realize, actually, sitting here, I can see at least two pieces of art of yours just in this room, and that's just from exactly where I'm sitting. There's one there, and if I go to the three. If I go to the other room, there's even more. So yeah,
actually, yes. Right when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, no, he's got plenty of my artwork.
I have a lot of it. Yes, several originals even.
Oh, definitely. Oh yeah, for sure.
So
Well, and you've seen my artwork really grow over the years. From when we first met, you know, at conventions and stuff, but you've really seen it take off and grow.
Yeah, I think I first started seeing your stuff around 2012 or so, or maybe soon after that. When did you start doing artwork? I know you've probably been doing art your whole life, is my guess.
Actually, I got started pretty late. I didn't really even take it. Oh yeah. I loved drawing and stuff as a kid, but I was definitely, in fact, my mom, we bring this up every once in a while because when I was a kid, I was like, maybe one day I'll become an artist. And she's like, you know, if you become an artist, you have to draw every day. And I was like, ugh, every day? No. And then, you know, drawing was fun, but I wasn't going to do that every day. And now, you know, right. As an adult, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I get home and just draw. So it's definitely been a change. So it's just definitely something that I grew into. What you saw, like around 2012 is when I published my first book. And so I started to do conventions. So that's when you and I would have seen each other. Mm-hmm. I think you and I saw each other at Grand Con.
Yeah, I think Grand Con was when I first, the first Grand Con in that little hotel. I think is where I first saw your artwork and was like, oh, wow. And realized you were local. Cause you're from the Grand Haven area. I'm from Kalamazoo, but I grew up actually, we never met when I grew up in the area by you for a long time. So we met at that Grand Con. I probably bought some art, from you and then when it came time to do on real estate, when I signed it with Mark, he, at that point, you and I had met a few times and we didn't like know each other, but we knew each other, right? Like we were acquaintances at that point, at least, to where we knew each other's names. And I saw you at several conventions and then Mark said, hey, I think I want to make this in a fantasy setting. What do you think? And I said, well, if you can get Corinne Roberts to do the art, then yes. And he was like, I have her on my phone. Let me call her. So he called you and left a message at the restaurant while I sat there before we even signed the game. And so that worked out really well.
It worked out great. Yeah. And that was interesting because, so when you're asking about art, you have to think when I graduated from illustration, I went to college for illustration. I didn't do watercolor. In fact, at the time I hated watercolor, but I always loved it when everybody else did it. And so it's just something that I would like kind of beat myself up because I didn't achieve it. And I was like, no, that's it. I'm going to learn it. And now it is the only thing that I do. So when I met you, I was already cutting out predominantly everything else. And it was mostly watercolor. And I remember getting kind of into my fantasy scenes and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when Mark talked to me and he pitched me this game, I was like, well, hold on a second. You know that I don't do straight buildings, like architectural.
Right.
Settings. And he was like, no, that is what I want, because I really got very nervous right away.
Right. No, I remember that. I remember talking to you about that.
Oh yeah. Cause I was like, I don't draw anything with a straight line. I'm also a watercolorist, which, you know, at the time, even then, I was told flat out that if I wanted a career in illustration to stop doing watercolor, like immediately.
Right. And that is 100% what drew us to, I mean, your style, obviously, but that is a big part of your style is the watercolors.
Yeah.
Was anyone else we talked to was going to do it all digital, and you do it all watercolors and then scan it.
Yeah.
And you do a unique thing where I maybe other watercolor people do this a lot, but like the first time it came to me was with you, which is you do watercolors and then you ink them to define the lines, which I was like, when you first said it was watercolor, I was like, that's not true. Like, how is that watercolor? Like, I don't know anything about art, but clearly she's just making this up because I don't know anything about this, but how can this be watercolor? And then you're like, well, I do this watercolor and then I do the ink. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that just blew my mind. Like, everything I knew about watercolors was like paint by number stuff, right? Like, and you're or like, you know, like the old school artists, like watercolor epic paintings and stuff. And I was like, this is not your mom's watercolor or your grandma's.
Right. Well, or you like, you'll see the splash. Like, I call it the splash.
Yeah,
like, you'll go to Comic Cons and you're like, character, splash of watercolor, character, splash of watercolor. And it's, you know, that's what normally when people are thinking watercolor, that's what they're thinking of. They're not actually thinking of a fully illustrated scene in watercolor because most of the time people would be like, why would you do that? You should just do it digitally.
right.
But I actually do like working with watercolor, you know?
It adds something. Like, it just, you know, I mean, we got so many positive comments on the game that we ended up co-publishing an art book with it, just with your art in it, because it was worth doing that because so many people were interested just in the art. I mean, that style in that, well, you know, I mean, obviously, at least from my perspective, it was going to be a bit more cumbersome, right? That you actually have to like not do it digitally. You have to actually do all of this, right?
And that was a nice thing in working with you and Mark is because I was very clear. I mean, and you remember part of my nervousness was like, hey, this is watercolor. If after I do it, you're like, no, that should have been done in red. I can't. You're
like, too late.
Too late. That's too late. So like, you had to also have a lot of trust in me that I could do the little thumbnails and I could show you what I was going for. But once I did it, you had to trust me that I knew what I was doing and that it would turn out as best and as clear as to what you said as possible.
Right. And it, part of the process you did, well, I can describe that, but I'd rather like you just kind of describe. So if I come to you, which I have many times, and I'm like, Corinne, I'm looking for this one piece of artwork. How, like, what's the process back and forth on that? Because your process has been, because it's actually done in watercolor and the way you do it has been different than other digital artists I've worked with and how they do it. So I can't be the only one who's experienced that. So I'd love to hear that.
So what I'll do is if I'm working with somebody, the first thing, again, I have to vet that person of like, really, do they understand, you know, that there is no take backs with the watercolor.
Right.
You know, so if they fully understand that, then what I do is I give them a drawing. I have a lot of the lines and everything. And then I give them a few thumbnails of coloring so that they can get an idea of the mood and color changes that they would be interested in. They pick one. And then that's where from there, they would have had to give me all the information about color or changes or anything else that they want, because I will draw it on the piece of paper. Or if it's a big piece, I will transfer it, which means that I blow it up on a piece of paper, put graphite on the back, transfer it to a big sheet, and then I start painting in. But like you said in the beginning, where I differ for a lot of my watercolors compared to other people is that I do my watercolor and pen after. So the watercolor goes on, lots of saturation, lots of color, and then it moves and dries, and then I do all of the pen line.
Right, after. Right.
Now, the pen line is actually, I mean, the drawing is set up, but like you even remember from working real estate or some of these other projects that the lines have to be able to move a little bit because I will work with how the watercolor dried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love, because so first with the Unreal Estate process, we would say we need gnomish Steamworks, right? And I would give you like a one or two sentences, I think, that would say like a little factory with like some steam or something, or some smoke coming out of it, and we just kind of give you a general direction, and then you'd come back with these three thumbnails, and they were incredibly hard to choose from because I mean, every once in a while there'd be one where like, nope, that one's not exactly what we're looking for. It's still cool, but not what we're looking for. But in general, it was, how do we pick between these? Because we like all of them. And so the rule that I gave to Mark, and he accepted because he was in charge, but he kind of, at that point, it was his first game. He kind of let me kind of run with the art direction on, working directly with you, which was something you had said, like, I'd like to work with Jason. I know Jason. And I, and we had talked ahead of time to make sure, because you were nervous about, I do all this work and then people are like, oh, those colors are wrong and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you are not going to do a bunch more work for free, and the budget is the budget, right? So it's tough. But so my rule was, we should pick the one that looks the most like Corinne's art. So like that was really, so which one, when I look at it, that's Corinne's style. Because a lot of times you would give us options where it was less your style because you were trying to really conform, and even like the cover, I think, is the greatest example, like of the Enchanted Castle, like structurally completely unsound. There's no way, right?
There's no
It's
way.
good thing it's enchanted, because otherwise it is literally falling apart because there's not a straight line and they're all like these
That's
curves and stuff, and it's gorgeous. But so that was kind of our thing. We're like, well, let's pick the one that just looks the most like Corinne's style. And that we did not go wrong with that. There were a couple where I never had regrets as like we picked the wrong one. I had regrets of I wish we could have picked the same one. Like I wish we could have had a different version of this or something. But then what blew my mind, because when you first described it, you said, I'm going to do a color test. And I've worked with digital creators and seen how they do that. And then, but you literally, like in the shape of the drawing, you just paint the watercolors on. It is the weirdest looking thing that it's like its own form of art. And I love it. Like sometimes I'm like, can we just do that? Like that looks so cool. So
No,
there's no
that's so
lines
funny
or
that you
anything,
say
you
that
know?
because I have had thumbnails. So those are like my thumbnails. And I've had thumbnails that just come out great. Thankfully, this did not happen with Unreal Estate, and it's only happened so far with my own. But like the thumbnail is great. And then you get to the original and you're like, that's so bad. It's so awful. Like
Oh no.
and I have had that happen because the thumbnail's supposed to guide you, but it's only a guide. So I know what you're saying, and it is truly like a work of art in itself. Little
And
pools and blobs of color, and it just like it works. Thankfully for Unreal Estate, I was able to capture the colors and stuff for the final
Yeah, for
photo.
sure. Absolutely. And all the details you added in made it very vibrant,
Yes. That's another
but
thing that
I
I'm known for is my layering.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure. And one of the things too was it wasn't like you just said, here's three drawings, like take it or leave it. With the sketches, it was always here's three drawings. And I think there were even times where he said, I know in some of our other projects where I've said, hey, could you take aspects of these two and put them together? Because in that stage, anything goes because you're just doing sketches, right? It's a lot easier to take back on than watercolor. And then you would give us the final version. I think you would maybe show it to us sometimes without the ink, or with minimal ink, and then you would, do the rest. But the process was really interesting to me, and I was frankly a little spoiled for the work I would have to do later with people that was very different. where like and like I said, I think that in the end, kind of that unique style really, like, it got me thinking about when we were talking about having you on the show, it got me thinking about how some board game artists have a style, and no matter what they do, you're like, oh, yep, that's that person. I think of like Quan Chi Mariah, he's done so many varied things, but like when you look at his art, you're like, that's him. Yeah. Like I know that's him, you know? And I mean, somebody could show me a lineup of your art with 100 other pieces of art and I guarantee I could pick out yours. Right.
Right.
And if I saw you run in another game, it'd be like, oh, yep, that's that. And so like, how did you go about kind of developing your style?
I mean, one, since I had pretty much eliminated most every other form, then I could really like dig into
watercolor
and really develop a style. But I kind of like what you said with Unreal Estate, I wanted to give myself more and more opportunity where I was doing projects and art for myself that really looked like my style. Cause there is styles like even when you're drawing just for yourself that you're like, you're toning it down. Mm-hmm, and then you, mm-hmm. there's another drawing where you like, you do it and it's really more for you. And you're like, yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. the projects and even myself published projects, mm-hmm. I just started to gear that more towards a unique style. And I did turn down. The nice thing is that I was turning down even other projects because of what you said, that if it didn't really look like it was going to be a project that enhanced my style, the sort of like whimsical fantasy or, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, like I love kind of Halloweenish, that kind of stuff. If mm-hmm. it didn't look like it would enhance that, I really had no reason to do it.
Right. Right.
And there is something to be said. I know this is, it's probably not the, you know, what most people expect, but I had a job, you know, I worked at a law office while I was, mm-hmm. really working at my style. And I also did teaching and I was starting to do conventions. And what was nice about that is that, and I always encourage people when people are like, you know, I'm going to quit everything mm-hmm. and do, you know, art. The thing is that you are going to have to take art jobs that you don't right. like what you're drawing. And it's right. just as soul sucking as any other job you hate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. because I didn't have to take those kind of jobs, I got to really invest and pursue a style that now I am yeah. recognized for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like an important point when people are like, well, how did you develop your style? And I was like, well, I had a little bit of security so that all of my free right. time could go into investing in that style right. rather right. than into board game projects. I mean, you know, you were with me. Mm-hmm. I was pitched a couple board games, but at that point it was like, you know, could you just do it? Not really like it would with Unreal Estate, it would come across right. as my style. It was just, could you right. do art right. for us?
Yeah. 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 No, and you, I mean, if I was looking for someone to just do art, you're never the person that I would think of. Like, I'm like, if I want art that looks like it fits this feeling and this style, you're the first person I would think of. Like, which of course, because your style is super unique, but like, you know what I mean? If I want something a little more whimsical, a little more fun, a little more fantastic, your art jumps out. But if I was just looking for like, hey, I just need some art to put on this game. No, you'd be like the worst person to ask.
Like, no, I have said, and I have actually said that about myself right, to other people. Right. I'm like, I'm not a good fit for this because. Right. And you should just almost have like stock images or somebody else who can also do it a lot faster.
Right. Right. And you know what? You have done so much work for me over the years and still I'll be like, hey, I'm looking for this. And if it's outside of your comfort zone, you're like, you trust that I would only come to you if I thought you were the one to do it, but you'll still be like, okay, explain this to me. I want to make sure I understand yeah. what you want out of this. So,
we worked on a couple projects exactly yeah. like that, where I was like,
yeah.
you want me to do this? And then once you explained it, then I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Cause you know what? I've worked on other projects where I needed art and I didn't call you because I'm like, no, it's not the right fit, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste your time or, you know, have my stuff bend to that style if that's not what fits it, right? It just does a disservice to both of us. So
yes,
because people yep. are going to look at it and think, oh, this is beautiful, I expect this out of the game, and then it's not that, right? You know, and that's yeah.
But you know, that is tough. An important part though as an illustrator is to be able, especially when you're starting out, and you and I knew I was mm-hmm. developing a style. Mm-hmm. But to be able to turn down those projects, because I know why people sort of get lost, because when you're just doing it for money. And you know, I know you have to, right? You have to pay bills. Yeah. But when you are just doing it for that reason, you just get lost. And then I know lots of artists who just get burnt out trying to accommodate all these different styles and suit the job. And they just feel like they have nothing left of a style for themselves.
Right. And I'm sure there are some artists who thrive on that. They want to be able to do all these different, you know, stylistic things and stuff, but like,
oh, absolutely.
Obviously that's not the case for everyone. I mean, and you know, a lot of the artists I see that you kind of run with, that I see on Facebook and things like that, they all have their own kind of style as well. Like, you know, that they seem to be, you know, working with. And I love that. Because it's the weird stuff, right? It's the stuff that really grabs your attention in a positive way. Like, weird is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm passionate. I think people can pick up once you really start to be passionate about what you're doing, people get a sense for that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And so we've mentioned a couple of times that we worked on other things together, and we've worked on a myriad of little projects here and there, but there was one where I had been working on a game for a few years and was struggling to find a publisher that would do it. And I'm not going to mention what the game is, because the story has a positive ending, but unfortunately an ending we can't talk about yet. So I had made this game, I had play tested it more. I think I've played that game more than any other game I've designed with more people. And it's just been, it just always clicks with people. And I had showed it to several different publishers, including some very large scale publishers, and it just didn't click for any of them. Or it would click for them and they'd say, oh, let's look at it. And they'd go, oh, no, it's not a fit for us. Or, you know, we're not sure how to market this. And so around 2020, it was just getting really hard to find. I was just like, I want to do something with this game. And it required a lot of, in the case that we did it, we decided it required a lot of faces.
Yep.
And people, very, you know, diverse faces and people. And so I came to you and I said, you know, here's the pitch. Like, I can't do this on my own. I can't afford to hire you as an artist, because I need a lot of art. I need like 60 faces. I said, and I'm not even going to ask, because even if you cut me huge discounts, there's no budget. I can't, like, it's silly. I said, so what if we did this game together? What if we worked together? We self-published it. And you were like, yeah, I'm into that. So I showed you how the game works. And then, you know, and then from there, we really started just going back and forth a lot on different ideas for people and faces and stuff like that. And that part was super fun, I thought. Like, going back and forth and really trying to think of weird combinations of people. And, you know, the idea was we wanted no stereotypes. So, like, anything where you could see a person and think, oh, that makes me think of this, like, that we would push against that. To kind of zig when somebody thought we might zag, to keep people on their toes and keep it interesting. And that worked well with the game too.
Yeah. Well, and also for me, it was fun because then it got into the actual game play a little bit. Cause I mean, I'm only dealing with the art, you know? So then I was like, oh no, well, it could be used as this or it could be used as that. And so it was nice to be able to work with you to get those ideas rolling rather than just like a directive. Like, I just need this face drawn as this, that. And for me to even do faces, I don't know if you remember, but you and I were having lunch and I offhandedly said, I was like, well, I do these landscapes and stuff. And I mean, I love doing them, but I really got to get better at faces. I was like, I don't know. I just don't feel as good about faces. And then remember 2020 hit and you're like, hey, remember that game that I pitched? Needing all these faces? Like, what do you think about that? And because of the time frame, I was like, yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. So it was nice to be able to work with you too, because not only then was it the art, but, you know, understanding how this would interact with people and hearing your thoughts on it and kind of rolling with it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you know, we kind of went from like designer artist to really, you know, working as a team with me giving ideas for the people and the arts, and you really coming in with that art, then influencing the design and how we would move forward with the game. And so things went swimmingly, like we were doing good. And then the whole debacle with 2020 and the shipping and things like that hit. And suddenly it was like, I don't think we can afford to publish this game.
And of course, you know, then I have tons and tons of faces and I've had like,
right.
You know, a blast doing them, but there was always that like, oh, you know,
right. No. And me too, because I'm like, gosh, like these are perfect to do something with. And I'd showed them around to several of the people and they're like, oh my gosh, you have to put these in a game. Well, so we were like, well, let's wait for a little while and see what happens. And I said, kind of on a whim, I was like, let me reshow this to a few publishers, like see if maybe somebody's interested in it, even from an artwork standpoint, right? Well, I had responded to a publisher that I had met before on Twitter, who had said, I'm looking for a game that would function in this way. And I was like, this game kind of does that. So I went back to you and I said, hey, listen, I want to send this to this person. But they said it's a licensed IP, which means that they're not going to use your art. Like, right. But it would be, you'd have to do new art. They then have to hire you to do. Right. And I was like, we can just go in it, you know, still as a split, but just as co-designers, because certainly, the game has changed a lot since we started working together because we were working together. And you were like, sure, let's give that a try. So I went back to the publisher, found out what the IP was, and was like, yep, no, you definitely can't do the art for it because the art, the IP involves an artist who does their own artwork. So I was like, well, that's not going to happen. But they liked the game. They signed the game. So, you know, at some point, hopefully later this year or early next year, there were some delays with some stuff that was happening in the world. And because of that, it kind of slowed the production down, or the prep down a little bit. But yeah, I cannot wait until you and I can really talk about this, because it's going to be super cool.
It's been such a long journey.
I know, right? Right?
Like, if you look at the original, what you had talked about, then what we had created, then what I did for the art, then what you did, and then like this like zigzagging journey, and now we're here.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty crazy, but and awesome.
Yeah, right. Crazy in an awesome way. If I had never talked to you about the game, this is the part that I love about it, and this is truth. I'm not saying this to make you feel better or something. Like not only would the game not have been what it became because of our work together, but I don't think that when they said, I'm looking for a game that does X, that it would have ever crossed my mind that game could do that, because it hadn't morphed into what it did because of our work together. So needless to say, you did all this artwork, and we're both going to get paid out of the deal. And I'm hoping with everything connected to this project that it'll actually go really well. And this will be, you know, certainly your best selling game ever, but hopefully mine too.
My first, you know, game designer. That's,
yes,
you know,
yes.
That
but even for games you did artwork for, right? I mean, yeah. Like, it definitely will sell more copies than Unreal Estate. Not that Unreal Estate did bad, but Unreal Estate was a first time designer with a first time publisher, and so it did great.
Sure.
But I mean, if this one didn't do better than that, then it would be a missed opportunity. And I'm pretty sure everyone would lose money, except for us, but we wouldn't get any money. That's for sure. So anyways, long story short, I'm super excited and I know you are too. And as soon as we can talk about it, we absolutely will. And hopefully I can get the publisher on to talk about it too. When they announce it. And it's funny because like, I didn't sign anything like we didn't sign NDAs with this, which is like a lot of trust, which is why I want to make sure we don't blow that. Cause you know, I mean, like I've had companies where you sign an NDA to pitch to them and like, we have lots of secrets that I wish we could talk about. But anyways, I'm excited about that. Yes. But so that led us back to like your first question was like, that sounds great. What are we going to do with all these faces? And I was like, because I mean, they're yours, right? But I was like, gosh, I would love to come up with a game that we could work with those. So that is still a goal of mine, is for us to work together on this, you know, on something of those faces, because they are just too perfect for a game, right? Like, you could use them as like a character deck or something, but I mean, like, it does a disservice for them not to be part of a game. Because
well, and you saw my style grow when I said I needed,
yeah, to oh, my yeah, faces, yeah,
I got a lot better at faces, and I was having, you know, fun. We were starting to even get into like animals and just all kind of stuff. It really helped my drawing style, like, period, just not even like watercolor, and then my actual pencil work.
Yeah.
And so I had a blast doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was funny because there were even some early faces you did where you're like, I'm going to redo those. Like, I was like, they're look good. You're like, no, I have learned a lot. I've drawn 60 of these things, man. I can make it better. I'm doing it again. I was like, all right, if you want to.
Yep. No, so, when you do 60, you're like, you look back at those early 10 and you're like, no, those are done.
I don't like these.
Redo.
Yeah. But so, so in the meantime, from that, you actually decided to do your own Kickstarter of something different. And then, which just launched as of the day we're recording it, it launched today, already funded, already hit 2 stretch goals, which you were, of course, super nervous about, because like Kickstarter is like, you know, you can prepare, you can have done it before, you can do all the things, and then you just never know what's going to happen, right? It's the Wild West sometimes.
You just never know. And I, you know, it's changed. I was, you know, warned ahead of time, like, it's changed a lot because I don't have a huge social media platform. Like, if you see me at a show, I do fine at a show, but I don't have this like large social media backing that, you know, for Kickstarter, I'll be like, go, and then they just rush in there. And so, like you said, it's just, I felt really good, but you never know. And especially with Kickstarter, it's that first 24 hours. All the people who said that they would be interested have to show up in that first 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, well, will they?
And they, turns out they did. As of right now, almost 100 people have backed it, which has got you at almost $5,000, which is pretty awesome.
That is amazing.
So, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I was told that my, because I was a first timer, and I don't have a huge social media backing platform or anything, that $5,000 would be a very successful goal, period.
Right. Good news.
Days, you know,
day one.
Now we're closing in on that day one.
Yeah. So I mean, really, within the first 24 hours, it's pretty likely you're going to hit 5,000.
So, yeah.
And, yeah. So, well, I guess you should tell us a little bit about the game. About the cards, in what you did and everything. So
just like Unreal Estate, I mean, that is where I got my foundation, was I was doing fantasy landscapes, but because of Unreal Estate, I really did like the look of it, you know, in cards, seeing that, you know, my work could be, you know, shrunk and then it looks really good in card form. And so it was always made me want to do cards. I also collect playing cards, just art cards, you know, for the wall and stuff. So I wanted to have one of my own, and I, little by little, I was gathering fantasy landscapes anyway, and I had quite a few of them, but when 2020 hit, that's when I was like, okay, this time is now. Like, I can't go anywhere, you know, I'm at home. There's no reason that I can't double down and do not just a deck of cards, because at that point, I was pretty close to having enough illustrations for the headset. But I wanted to do an entire deck, like 54 illustrations. And would I be able to do that? And just like what we were talking about with the faces, once I started to really get into a rhythm and I got better at doing landscapes, fantasies, space scenes, like dreamscapes, like my air castles, all this kind of fantasy stuff, I just had a blast with it. I really got better. And then I had over you know, 50 illustrations. And of course, just like what we said with the faces, I went back to plenty of them and I was like, no, those are terrible. those are out. We gotta have, you know, some new ones. And I made an entire deck and it's been a several year long project. Every illustration is done just what I said, watercolor and pen. And I got them in and I got them into the deck. So I'm really excited about this launch. And it seems like people are very interested in not just having a playing card deck, because it is that. It's also the fact that it is an entire deck of all of my illustrations and lots of illustrations I haven't released yet. I specifically held back.
Yep. Yeah. Some of these I've not even seen. And I was like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, half of them are brand new. I've never released them. To make sure. So I just kept like continuing even after 2020 into, you know, 2022, 2023. And then I was like, okay, time to put this all together. And then the other aspect of this deck of cards is that I made an Oracle deck. It was interesting because I wasn't going to do this at first, but my friend pointed out, she's like, why aren't you making this into an Oracle deck? Because I have been asked repeatedly to do a tarot deck. And as much as I think that would be cool, I am not as familiar with tarot. And so I was like, I don't feel comfortable about illustrating something I'm not super familiar with. But she's like, well, you're familiar more with Oracle decks. Why aren't you doing this? And I was like, well, I don't know. And she's like, Corinne, every time you describe these scenes and your illustrations, you're talking about a journey and going into these worlds and a reflection or how it makes you feel and how like you kind of meditate into this space. And she's like, that's what Oracle decks are. That's right there. You're making this a lot harder on yourself. And so when she said that, I kind of took a step back and I was like, actually, she's absolutely right. Like that is, it's like I had made this a lot harder. Everything was right there. And that's really what Wanderlust was traveling into these worlds. And so I'm glad that she, you know, this is one of my longtime best friends. So it's like when she talks to me straight, she's like, you're making this harder on yourself. Don't do that.
Right.
So I'm glad she did that because it steered me into this way. And I was like, well, you know, why can't this be both things? You know, if you want to use it just as a very beautiful art deck and play with it and have all the scenes, great. It's a collection of all of them. But if you want to use it as this reflective, meditative thing where you can pull the cards and kind of go on a journey with them, they're right there, ready for you to use.
Yeah, yeah. And you actually put up 5 pieces of original artwork that people could buy. And you've managed to already sell 4 of them, which is awesome. That is awesome.
Now that is something I am really surprised by that because I'll be honest is that I saved a lot of the artwork. Only a few of them have actually been sold prior to this. I saved a lot of the artwork specifically because I knew that the Kickstarter was coming. But I was like, you know, people always say that, oh, I'd love to own like one of your watercolors or something. But they, you know, and I know they're a higher price point. And sometimes really when it comes down to it, they just don't want the original. They don't have space for it. So I was like, well, I'll put these up. They probably won't sell. But you know how Kickstarter is. It's just nice to have like some higher tiers.
Yep. You always want to have something so that people can pay you more money if they want to, right?
Yes, exactly. So. Well, and something different other than just a deck.
Yeah.
And so I put those up and wow, for day one, 4 of them gone. Now that's okay. Because thankfully I've got like 40 pieces that I'll probably continue to release a few.
I wondered if you would do that. Yeah, that's super smart.
Oh, good. Well, good. Because I had thought about that ahead of time and I was like, but I didn't want to also have like a Kickstarter with like 40 tiers to just overwhelm people. You know,
no, so I think like, it's smart. You know, and you can even promo like, hey, I'm going to be releasing new ones on this, you know, every week or something like that, you know, during the Kickstarter and just to get people or however often you're going to do it. Right. Just to get people excited about checking back in, you know, if they're interested in one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're so you'll see even like on the tiers, some of them, another big thing that was like a learning lesson was six by nine. So a lot of times watercolors, like you're always doing these big pieces, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, kind of like those watercolor splashes. Well, in order to get a lot of that, you need to work bigger. But one thing that I started to get better and better at was not forcibly working small so that, you know, like detail was lost, but I could work in a six by nine, get a really solid landscape or a scene for a card, but still have the six by nine be just as beautiful. In fact, I had somebody reach out and like, I cannot believe you did this entire scene on a six by nine. But I think the reason that people also want to grab those is because, you know, you can put it up. It's not a huge, you know, commitment piece for the wall, like an 18 by 24 watercolor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is, for sure. I mean, I like your smaller stuff because then I can have more of it displayed. So that's always my it's always my plan with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, the artwork on it is just, I mean, it makes me wanna go to those places for sure. I mean, that's why I think the Oracle deck is such a smart idea to do with that. And you were absolutely making it harder on yourself than you needed to. Like you had already done the work. Like,
I had you just already needed done the to work. Say it. You just, you know, you need to have those friends around you that are like, you really just made this way harder than it needed to be. It's all here for you. But you can even see in the deck, or at least I haven't released all the images because I'm releasing them throughout the campaign.
Which is clever because, like, of course, like everyone wants to see all of them, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But you can also see that there are definitely sets. And so what I did with this deck, period, because for each set, I didn't do suits. I did sets. So like the fours have a theme, the fives have a theme. Everything has like a theme as you go down. But then what's really nice with the Oracle deck is that you're seeing certain tones and moods for each color tone, you know, that and that was a big piece just for art wise that I really wanted to practice different mood settings. And I think people are really, when they see a new piece, they're grabbing at these different color choices. Cause you'll see, like, even when I post something, will be lots of bright oranges. And then boom, the next one is soft, muted pales. And that was intentional so that as you're going through, you have lots of variety.
Yep. Different experiences.
Yes.
To share. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Intensities to like real calm and meditative, like relaxing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about, how did you decide on stretch goals? Cause that was something I was really interested in. Cause like, obviously you can't be like, I added more cards to the deck. I added even more cards to the deck. Right. Cause I mean, like it's a deck, right? Yes. So if I'm spoiling it and like later on, you're gonna be like, I'm adding more cards to the deck, more power to you. But like, I'm assuming you're not. So cause that would be, that's a lot more, you know, in that kind of scope creep with Kickstarter stuff like this, as the funding keeps getting higher, is a real problem for some Kickstarters, and they've lost money by being like, I'm going to add this and this and this and all these new things. And then shipping is crazy and it's just hard to manage. So
Am very fortunate that I am friends with people who have done Kickstarters, so they offered a lot of advice. But what you just described was the horror story of almost all of them have experienced that. And so they were like, look, it's your first Kickstarter. Just keep it simple. Do a deck of cards. Because I mean, you know, I have books, I have other things, but they're like, the shipping right now is crazy. It's unpredictable. If you start adding on a bunch of other stuff, or even just if you stayed with this deck, like let's say I do an art book with it, they're like, you got to really hit some high numbers to even make that possible, because it just gets to be too much. So for the stretch goals, I probably actually will need to rethink this now, because as much as we're hitting stretch goals, we've already reached close to 5,000 in one day. So we're going to have to add some more. And I definitely have some more, but what I decided to do was the first one, you know, just having a nice upgraded stock. We'll see if we can get up to really higher numbers. That's when possible box embellishments and stuff for a stretch goal.
Right.
But I mean, if you've, I mean, you know, with deck of cards, that can be really a jump in price.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah. 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 Like if you were to add like some sort of like spot UV or something to the,
yes,
to get, make it like texturized and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
That, yeah. All that, the edges and everything. So when I was looking into that, I was really surprised at just how much of an increase in a bump that would really go. Mm-hmm. And also I'm a little limited because I'm doing an art deck. The actual illustrations are the thing that shines. I don't want like gold or silver on them, right? So it wouldn't actually help. So some of those things that could bump up or make them look good, it doesn't actually make my deck look better. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little limited. So what I decided to do was, you'll see on there, it's like a behind the scenes video. And I get a lot of questions because I am a watercolorist. On my process for exactly what we're talking about. You mentioned even that real estate book. That was one of the few times that I actually ever showed my drawings. Cause I'm very
I remember that. Yes. Cause the real estate, the art book has some of your sketches in it and you were like, ooh,
I was guarded. Remember? I was guarded.
Oh yeah. Which is fair. I completely understand it.
Which is so weird, but I was always very guarded about my sketches. So that's where like the behind the scenes showing the process, showing some of those thumbnails that we were talking about, my actual sketches, going through some of the supplies. I often get a lot of questions on supplies, like what do I use? How do I get those vivid colors? How do I do the layering? And then also I'll just go through some of my thoughts of why, for like, especially the Oracle part, like, what was I thinking about when I was trying to create this particular scene, or what did it remind me of, and little things like that.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think, one of the simple things too was like a sticker or like some things that are small that could actually go in shipping wise for a deck. So
at those any weight. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think what you do, like what people typically do is they just start to spread stretch goals out. You know what I mean? Like you've already started it. You got 3,500, 4,500, 5,500, and then 7,500. And then maybe make your next month like 10,000 or something, like a little higher. So that, because otherwise it's just crazy. Right.
Yes.
I've seen big campaigns do that where they just slowly keep upping it to spread it more and more out because, you know, you don't want to end up with too much, make it too hard for you to fill. Plus, like I said, you've got the nice benefit of every once in a while, you can just release some more, original art that people could use, you know, and that sort of thing. So,
I don't want to get overwhelmed, you know?
Right. And are you planning to do all the film and everything on your own?
Yeah. I mean, it was projected that I should, you know, it would be really good for me to get to 5,000, and now we're at 5,000 today. So like my whole goal was to do fulfillment, but I am definitely open when I'm starting to talk to people, and I had talked to people before, like what is actually fulfillment going to look like? So, I definitely could be reaching out, but most likely I will be doing it myself.
Mm-hmm. And are you thinking, if you want to answer this or not, are you thinking that you'll do like an overprint to where you've got extras so that you can sell them at conventions and stuff? Are you hoping to make this like a Kickstarter? It's done. And then, you know,
oh no, this was part of the goal was for me to get, a certain amount, a certain number so that I could not only fulfill the deck and all the backers, but have extra. And so that's where, even when I was pricing everything out, I was like, okay, well, you know, everybody's kind of saying like, hey, it's your first one. You know, you're probably not going to get any sort of high numbers.
Right.
You know, so I can invest into my own deck just as long as it'd be so nice if some people came out and gave me an idea. Also, you know what it's like. Like, hey, is anybody even interested in this?
I would like
to know some of those numbers ahead of time. And so that's why this Kickstarter that has been already amazing to show that, yes, people would be interested. Mm-hmm. But I am... The goal was for me to have some extra so that I could go around. I mean, I don't know if your listeners know this. We mentioned that I go to, like I did Grand Con, but I do this full time now where I'm touring around and I do shows. I've even branched into art shows, not just like Comic Cons, and been having a really good time with it. But I'd like to have some of those to sell.
That's great. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you're doing really well monetarily wise, but you're at 94 backers right now. So because you're selling the original artwork, it kind of drives up your overall income with it without driving up the number of decks sold. So that's, you know what I mean? So that kind of gives you some real flexibility with deciding how many you want to print and how you want to do it. And so that is, there's a lot of fun decisions you're going to get to make as you do this. So,
yes. I mean, that's what the thing is, like, already just in day one, I'm like, oh, I actually will have some opportunities that I was like, don't even go there. You know, I just don't want to think about it, because I'm also a person that I'm like, let's keep it more realistic. You know, let's be happy. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I might actually have even multiple options, you know, to make this deck as great as it can be, but even have a little extra so I can take them on the road with me.
Yeah, which is awesome. You know, I mean, that is, that's really helpful. Plus, you also have been selling packs of them, which is nice, where you can buy, even some people even bought 12 decks, which is awesome. First of all, those people rock. You know, like,
Well, I'm starting to work with, because of my art style and some of the subject matter, I've been starting to work with more shops and retailers, which has been really nice to kind of branch into that as well.
Yeah.
Especially here in West Michigan, I've been working with some galleries and some shops. It's been a great experience to be able to do that. Yeah.
That's awesome for sure.
Well, and I love all of that. That's the nice thing with... even, you know, we meeting each other in Grand Con, but like when you have that West Michigan or that connection, anytime like you can help another business out or support local.
Yep.
It's amazing how much that kind of lifts you up. You can see that even from today, from the numbers, a lot of those people there have seen me grow over the years.
Right. Yep.
And we're on real estate backers. They remembered me from that game.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Right. I mean, that's so cool.
Do you know that I do shows and I have like a couple prints on the back that are not not necessarily on real estate, but they'll be of my castles and stuff. And I still have people come up and they're like, did you do a game of buildings? You know, and they start and I'm like, yeah, on real estate. And they're like, oh my gosh, I have that game. That is amazing. Because like you said, they're like, it's such a distinctive style. I knew immediately you had to be that artist.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, hey, this has been fantastic to sit here and chat about this and to have you on. I'm super excited for this Kickstarter and for you and for how well it's going already. You know, by the time people are hearing this, it'll be likely way beyond that. So awesome. And what are, obviously, other than going to Kickstarter.com and searching Wanderlust, which will come up with that, what are some other good ways for people to find you?
So, so my website, CorinneRoberts.com, but just make sure that you spell Corinne correctly. So one R, two N's.
Two N's.
CorinneRoberts.com and Corinne Roberts on all the big social medias, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, I think even Twitter I use the least, but, or now X, I guess it's now called X.
Right. Yeah.
So, but all of the bigger platforms, I'm definitely on there. You can see more of my artwork and I definitely do other books and you can even see some of the prints and stuff that I do, but the other projects, like my books, I have children's books and comics. Those will be on my website and everything I do is done in watercolor and pen. Everything that we've been talking about today.
Yeah. And you do a lot of, commissions as well. So
yeah. Sure. Yeah. I that's funny that you mentioned that because I had a couple people reach out right before, because I'm also starting back up to shows for April.
Right.
Because of this Kickstarter, I was like, I got to pump the brakes. And after like today, I can see why people had recommended. They're like, if you know, you gotta be ready for it. So I was like, okay, I'll pause. So I took a little pause on commissions, but I do commissions and all that kind of stuff throughout the year. And you also on my site, CorinneRoberts.com, you can also see a listing of shows and stuff that I'll be at. And I'm going to mention this one thing just because we're in the area. And you also know, because of your kids and stuff, I do a library program. So if you want to know some of the drawing, those are free library programs. And yeah, if you want to join me in some of those classes, make sure you check your local libraries.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no, those are super cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you again for joining me tonight. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed our conversation here and getting to hear a bit more about this. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can go to buildingthegamepodcast.com. You can also there find a link to our Discord channel where we chat it up all the time. You can also find us at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can do the easy thing, and that's to keep coming back every single week. And until next time, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. The end of the episode, that's
when it technically ends.